evening. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey, welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you were here today, because joining me today is Adam Golf of Ride Time Radio. He's from the Canary Islands, and so I wanted his perspective from a European perspective on what's going on around the world globally. What do they see happening here in the United States from their perspective? And you know what? We have come to the conclusion that we are all in this together. It's us versus them. And especially the attack on freedom of speech. So that is on today's show. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May. I'm on Cloud Hub. You can find me on X at DJ Amber May. But I wanted to talk to you about Patriot Mobile really quick, because the First Amendment is under attack. But did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% based U.S. customer service team makes switching super easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade, and their team will help you find the best plans for your need. So just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. And get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. So make sure you make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/AMBER. That's PatriotMobile.com/AMBER. Or call 972-PATRIOT. Well, without any further ado, I can't wait to invite my friend Adam to the program coming up right now. Like I told you, I have Adam Golf joining us today on the episode. I am so excited to have you on, Adam. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be here, Amber. And as I just said to you, I hope I live up to your expectations. I know they're very high, Amber. I know they're very high.
You know, I love this whole podcasting world that we've been able to be in, because, you know, during COVID, they wanted us to all be shut down and not have a relationship and not see anybody. But I don't think they were factoring in the internet. And I'm so grateful for the internet and you wanting to be a podcaster, me being a podcaster, because we have a mutual friend that introduced us together. You're from the Canary Islands. I'm from the United States. And yet here we are together talking. So I think that's so incredible about the internet and podcasting and how we can make friends worldwide. Isn't that amazing?
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how many contacts you actually start to network with without even ever meeting them, you know, in person. So it's a really interesting way that podcasting has opened back up again over the last few years since COVID. And radio as well. Radio is connecting people again, you know. It kind of become just something that we kind of wasn't so grateful about anymore. It was kind of used to it. There's a lot of people going back to podcasts and radio and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think radio is the more, if you're going to talk about mainstream media, because that's, you know, my background's mainstream media. And AM radio especially has been one of those places where most people feel comfortable going and most people feel like, okay, I can get somewhat good content because there's a lot of independent creators just like yourself. So tell me about Ride Time Radio. I'd love to know more about Ride Time Radio. You're out in the Canary Islands. I should tell my audience that because I didn't say that. You're out in the Canary Islands, which is right by Morocco, and you are a radio show host, and you have the Ride Time Radio.
That's right. We have the Ride Time Radio show, and you can find it on ridetimeradio.com. You can find it on Terrestrial Signal in Tenerife, which is one of the biggest of the Canary Islands. We're on 90.4 FM. And basically, we just was kind of, after COVID, we was looking for ways to work with people a lot more closer to home. So I've had businesses spread across three continents. We had over 100 staff. It was a real headache when COVID came because we had countries shutting down, but other countries was opening, and you couldn't kind of get that in sync. And it really highlighted how vulnerable I was, even though I felt that I was really, I've done it, I've made it, you know, I don't need to worry about things anymore. And then COVID came away and pretty much took all that away. So we started to work closer to home, and I've always had a passion for motorcycles. I've been a biker for 35 years. We've put the motorcycle company together, Easy Rider Tenerife, and we started to do motorcycle rentals and tour guides. We live in one of probably Europe's biggest vacational hotspots at the moment, because it's probably one of the safest places, touch wood, that we haven't seen any kind of terrorism and stuff like that. So people are flocking here now. They've kind of changed from places like Tunisia, Cyprus, all of this, and we're getting all of that traffic here now. So working with the tourist is a no-brainer. Tourism is probably the biggest sector bounced back since COVID. And I think that's because there's a lot of people who were, we were kind of conditioned into saving for a rainy day, making sure you've always got enough money for X, Y, and Z. But what COVID did was say to us, it doesn't matter how good a citizen you are, that we can take all of that away from you whenever we feel like it. Mm-hmm. And what's happened then is people have gone, I think it's had an adverse effect on where people thought they would be, because whether this was planned or wasn't planned, I don't know. But I know one thing, that it didn't have the effect that people, that the governments was expecting, because people, instead of getting kind of clammed up and starting to fear even more the outside world and the media, we seem to have gone the opposite way and gone, you know what? Anything can happen in the next 5 minutes, so I'm going to go and spend all my money, and I'm going to enjoy myself as much as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we were. So Ride Time Radio was an offspring of that. I've been in marketing for a long time. I looked at how I was going to market the business, and I thought, well, why pay to go on a radio show if I can have my own? So we built our own radio station, and that's worked extremely well for us. And we've now pushed our own kind of stuff out straight out there in front of, we've got 250,000 listeners potentially. Wow. You know, so that's who the radio station is going out to. Whether they all listen, that's a different thing.
Right.
Totally going out to them.
That's phenomenal, because my background's radio broadcasting, and I quit when I became a mother, but I went to broadcasting school, and I got into a large market right away, right out of school, which is unheard of, really, because typically when you leave broadcasting school, you go to a small podunk town to get your feet wet, get your bearings straight, get some, some experience under your belt, and then you can move up to large market. But God was so good to me, man. I graduated and I got right here in Phoenix, a large market on the radio station. And I'm so excited about, I love radio. Radio is one of those mediums where people really can get to know you. They can call in. They feel like they know you. The thing that just frightened me, I don't know if you saw this, but George Soros just purchased a whole bunch of radio stations. Oh. And that kind of frightens me, because now they see radio as a threat to them, because they've already conquered TV media, right? They have TV media in the palm of their hands. You know, us Americans used to think, oh, we have freedom of the press. You know, they'll never lie to us because they're free media. No. We find out from the Tucker Carlson interview that the mainstream media, CBS, ABC, NBC, they were started by the Department of War in America during the 1940s. And yes, we're supposed to have freedom of the press, but, you know, so many conglomerates have gotten together and control all of the media and their friends with the people in office. So it doesn't matter, you know. And so now that George Soros used radio, now he's gone and purchased a whole bunch of radio stations. I'm like, man, that was like one of the last final frontiers as far as mainstream media goes, where we could have a free press. However, Adam, I had no idea you owned your own radio station. If we could still have independent owners like you, we could still have a free place where we can come and get information without being biased.
That's going to depend on how long it takes for them to shut radio stations like me down, because freedom of speech seems to be something that is fast disappearing and is becoming a myth, you know, mm-hmm. and we're seeing this. Tucker Carlson was in Spain not so long ago, and he pointed out how communist that he thought the country was going. And it was interesting to find that out. And, you know, I'll tell you what, there was a story that was ran the other day over here. It was about a US Air Force pilot who set himself on fire outside of the Israeli embassy. And this was about 2 weeks ago, yeah? And the soldier was so distraught with what was going on in Israel and Gaza that he decided to stand in front of the Israeli embassy, set himself alight, and as he did so, he shouted out, you know, free Palestine. He was an American citizen. Mm. Now, that was a shocking story that, you know, it kind of has links back to Thich Quang Doc, the monk who did that in 1963 when they was doing that in Vietnam. And I would say that the soldier has probably, you know, followed that same stance as an extreme protest. But that hit the mainstream media over here in Europe as it happened, because it was so shocking. But within minutes, that story was buried. Yeah, it was buried off the pages. It was not run as a main story anywhere on any headlines. And I thought that was pretty shocking, that story. And that really highlighted some of these press companies that we have, like the BBC, Sky News, and it shows you how much control that the government has got over.
I didn't even hear about that story. So, wow, that's incredible. And how sad is that, that individual's life was not even, I mean, maybe some places that's here right. in the United States had the story, but I never came across it. And I really try and be on top of things.
It was buried so quickly, Amber. It was, you know, it happened. It came on the BBC News. Mm. It was snatched off their headlines straight away. It was buried in the Sky News headlines, and the story just quickly got buried because the soldier, as he was walking, he filmed it. It was on YouTube. He streamed this. He was walking along, and as he came to the embassy, he said that this is very extreme what I'm about to do, but not as extreme as the things that I've been being told to do as a U.S. Air Force. I think it was Air Force man. I don't know the terminology of that, but it was because he would, you know, they were going in, and what's been happening in Gaza with Israel and whatnot, and it just shows you the extremities. And I'm really surprised that you didn't see that as well.
Yeah, me too. I'm very surprised. So, like, what should we know about what's going on in Europe? Things that maybe us as Americans don't hear about, because, like we just talked about, there's so much suppression and censorship in the media. And you being on the other side of the pond, so to speak, you can give me some insight. Like, what are some things going on that maybe us Americans need to know about?
Well, first of all, let's touch on the big story. Yeah, let's touch on Trump and Biden. Okay, so we are seeing an extreme amount of panic from the governments over here with the threat of Trump getting into power. And they're trying to condition us on this side of the pond already that this could be devastating for Europe if Trump was to get in. Now, I don't agree with that whatsoever, because I'm not a Trump supporter, I'm not a Biden supporter, but I would probably lean more to Trump, because I just feel that he is saying what people want to hear, and he's not trying to censor it, or he's not trying to be politically correct, and we're all sick of politically correct. You know, we want to hear the truth, and we want to hear what people really think, not what they should say or should think. So the governments are trying to condition the people into being very, very fearsome of Trump getting into power. There's no reason behind that. We're just being told that it would be devastating for the world if Trump got into power. So there's one of the big things that we see happening, and that's creating panic because, you know, what goes on in America affects the rest of the Western world. You know, mm-hmm. we see you as the leaders of the free world, although that's questionable at mm-hmm. this moment. We're also seeing the United Nations sit on their hands and do absolutely nothing. You know, it's a band that should just be disbanded. It's a complete waste of time. We're seeing these atrocities go on around the world. We're seeing our own Prime Minister in the UK sucking up to Biden as he's getting dragged into Biden's war with the Red Sea. So it's all kind of, you know, everywhere that we look is in a real big mess. Whilst all this is going on, I see a lot of this as distraction politics, and a lot of laws and changes and regulations are being pushed through into mm-hmm. into the parliaments across Europe and in the UK, whilst we are also distracted with the Biden, Trump and all the other things that are going on. So there's a lot of underhanded business. And my last probable word is there's never been so much corruption in the governments that I've seen over here in Europe and the UK as I see now. There really has not.
Can you elaborate a little bit on some of the corruption that you've been noticing in Europe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're finding some devastating kind of amounts of money that's going missing, millions and millions of euros that are missing from false packaging, from PPE to PPE that never even existed, contracts being signed off by companies that were non-trading. There was even a contract that was signed off for Brexit with a company that was going to take the overflow of logistics from the UK should there be a problem at the tunnel. And this company didn't even have any ferries or any types of boats, so it was impossible for it to do that. There's been a big scandal now in Spain where 53 million euros worth of PPE masks have now gone missing and never existed, yet they were being travelled and documented as being delivered around the country. Brussels is now investigating that case as well to see if that was partly European funds as well. Rishi Sunak, as a prime minister, well, he was living in number 11 next door to number 10. His wife was on a non-dom status. His wife is responsible for over, I think it's 8 companies that have gone bankrupt with millions of pounds missing. Insider trading from the Sunak family, where he announced his budget prior to this one that went out today, with big grants going out to health, to childcare companies, and lo and behold, his wife had massive amounts of childcare shares in several of the biggest companies across the UK. And then everything that gets kind of investigated just gets pushed under the carpet and we don't hear about it again. So things like the COVID pandemic investigation, where they was investigating Johnson, we hear about the investigation, but we never hear about the results. So everything is swept under the carpet. And if that's not enough for you, Amber, what more do you need?
Man, it's like our countries and are mirroring each other, because that's the corruption that's happening here. You know, Hunter Biden and the laptop from hell, where, you know, he had child pornography and he was raping children and he did the drugs and the money laundering in Ukraine. This is how they're all getting paid big bucks. They force us to pay taxes. They take it out of our paycheck. And then they launder the money and they tell us it's going to this, that, or the other. And then the money just disappears. It's not just when I'm talking to and highlighting things on my program about things going on in America, I am beginning to realize this is a worldwide global problem, that the so-called elected officials here that are doing it are also doing it and all over the world. So we're all victims together of this corrupt government, and it's like us versus them. And I think this could be the biggest uniting our world has ever seen, where us as the people are realizing that those supposedly entrusted to do our work are stealing money from us like crazy, making our lives harder to go to the grocery store to purchase food for our kids, making it harder for us to fill our gas tanks to go to work, making life so hard for us, and the disparity between the rich and the poor is growing and growing and growing because they all want us to be in a communistic type government. And it's just like, part of it's shocking. The more you find out about it, part of it's shocking. Then part of it's like, well, it's not that shocking, but then part of it is. It's like every year they go to Davos and they come up with some kind of plan that they're all supposed to work on together. And it's not just elected officials. It's bureaucrats. It's also big corporations. Anyone who has or is like a top dog in a corporation, they all get together and make this plan, and they want to execute it.
Do you think that this has always been going on, or this is just that? I think we spoke about this before, that when COVID came, we all had chance to stop the rat race. You know, we had chance to stop and to take a look. And because we were all very concerned with what was happening in the world, you know, was this the end of the world? I mean, I remember standing on my, you know, on my porch outside, and a chopper came past with soldiers in it. We'd got choppers on the streets, and we got soldiers on the streets, and roadblocks going on as we was locked down over here. And you know, we all kind of then got serious. But it's a good point that you made, is that they didn't shut down the internet, so we all had time then to start digging a little bit deeper. Now, do you think it's always been here and we just haven't noticed? Or do you think this is, you know, post-COVID, and that politicians have some sort of, you know, now new agenda that they are all working towards? Because any politician you see, they seem to be so scared of losing power, you know? It's not like it was before, you know, pre-COVID, it was democratic, you know, people were voted. But was that because we were just scratching the surface? Now we're seeing a lot more, and we, you know, we're starting to see the truth.
Mm-hmm. I think this has been a long plan, a long drawn out plan, just like the Chinese have this 100-year war that they, you know, when they go in and they have a strategy, it's like for 100 years of strategy. And so I think this has been going on with the globalists, with these certain families, and then they grow in power and power. And what I've realized in 2020, and was the highlight of it for the American people. And I don't know what it was like, and maybe you can shed some light on this for me across the globe. But in the United States, we finally realized that they have really been interfering in our elections. And what we come to find out is it didn't matter who was running, because they were both on the same side. Even though they were supposedly in different parties, they were all on the same team. So if A candidate didn't win, it didn't matter because B candidates won and they're on the same team. And so all of us kept thinking, man, nothing changes. Our party never changes anything. It's, you know, they never can come together on anything. They always wanted to divide our party. And that was strategic, so that nothing could change, because they wanted their dirty people into the offices, and they got it down to like the city levels. And then we have in the United States, we have a city level, we have a county level, we have a state level, and then we have the federal level, right? So they have been doing this so well for so long. And because of the rat race, like you said, Adam, and then we finally, they shut everything down to where we had nothing else to do but research. It finally all came to a head. And then 2020 happened when they stole Donald Trump's election. If you would have been here in the United States, especially in my state, I'm a border state, especially in my state, you would have saw for the first time in my life, I've never seen this before. And it goes back to what you said, Adam. He wasn't politically correct. That was a big draw for people. And the other fact is he was a businessman. And, you know, they've been going after our economy for so long. The discrepancy between rich and poor has been getting bigger and bigger. And a lot of people wanted him to fix the business side of the country. We wanted our prosperity back. We got tired of them stealing it from us. So besides the politically correct thing, that's what drove a lot of people to Donald Trump. Well, come to find out, he's not a part of the gang. He's not a part of the club. And that's a threat to them. So when they told us he's a threat to democracy, it's not what we think democracy to be. They're telling us he's a threat to their power. And they don't want him to be there because he could control the Department of Justice. And he could start shutting things down and start correcting the things these bad people are doing. I'll tell you a story about what happened here in Arizona, just with the elections alone. We have a small little town in the western part of our state called San Luis. And San Luis isn't a big population, but it just demonstrates how when you take this across the nation, it becomes a big problem. There was a lady convicted of ballot harvesting, and it's illegal to do in my state, to go around and collect ballots. It's illegal to do. And she was doing that. And now she's the vice mayor of the town of Luis. She's convicted, and yet she sits in political power. This is what they do. What it didn't, just like you said, they just shove it under the rug because they've already put all their people into the places that would prosecute, like judges. Like in our state, in our country, we have county attorneys and attorney generals, and those are the chief law enforcement of the. Yeah, you have your police, and your police send those reports to the county attorney or the attorney general, and they prosecute the crimes. Well, when you sit in those spots, you're not going to prosecute the crimes of your enemy. You're going to smash the person who competes with your enemy. And that's what we've been seeing. So I think it's been like a long game plan, and they didn't cheat enough. If you listen to Hillary Clinton talk, she said she was supposed to win, which basically means, and they just didn't cheat enough for her to win. Because they weren't expecting the popularity of Donald Trump in 2016. That's my thoughts. What about you? I don't know what elections are like across the globe, but that's what I think is going on.
Well, we've got big elections coming up over here as well, haven't we, with what's happening in the UK now. The Tories are desperately trying to clamber onto what they've got left. You know, they've done a two-pence. This is what makes me sick today. You know, they've done a two-pence national insurance cuts today, saving, which is kind of like about an average person is going to save about £300 a year, which let's divide that in 2 weeks. We're talking about £5 a week, right? Which is about two sausage rolls, right? So they think, and this is what really annoys me, is they think by giving us two sausage rolls more a week, that they can change our minds about all of the corruption and all of the scandals and all of the all of the stuff that they've done over the last kind of 13 years they've been in power, that they think they can just win us over by giving us the equivalent of two sausage rolls. It's a shambles. It's an absolute disgrace. And, you know, it just makes me sick because I go back to World War II where my granddad raised me. And he was a soldier in World War II. He survived and he came back. And we lost, you know, how many thousands and thousands of soldiers, you know, both across America, across Europe. And here we are again, giving away everything, you know, and letting it become almost, you know, the way that the world seems to be pushing is into this kind of socialist, communist kind of area where where we would have been then anyway. You know, we gave our soldiers up for fighting for the free world, for the freedom of speech, for to be able to say what we think, to be able to have our own countries, to be able to have our own borders. I know that you've got those, you know, big questions there to be asked. I saw some stuff about that again today, you know, some crazy stuff about what Biden's been doing. But we just seem to be losing the battle very fast and more laws and regulations. And this is another thing that, you know, I touched on before. It's distraction politics. Mm-hmm. We are constantly being distracted by these stories. And whilst we're distracted and whilst we're looking at things that are on the surface, there is so much being changed underneath that when we come back to the table, the whole thing's being switched on us again. Mm-hmm. We've got all of this stuff you know, coming into power with this Bill Gates stuff. I don't know if you've heard about this now. His new kind of biometric passport kind of stuff. Give me some more information about that, Amber, because I've kind of got a structure about that this is going to collect information on us as we travel. And it's going to also get, if we haven't put enough into the social community somewhere, then they're going to downgrade you and you won't be able to do certain things. What have you heard about this so far?
They have done this already in China, and there was a reporter that wanted to report on all this stuff. And as soon as he started reporting on it, they shut down his ability to travel. They shut down how much money he could have. And it's all it's all around the smart city, the 15-minute city, and the central bank digital currency. And so I've studied a lot about this issue. And basically, it's just like a glamorized prison system. And the World Economic Forum is really behind it, and China. Both of these are really behind this smart city. And what they want to do is, one of the ways they want to get that programming is under our skin through vaccines. So they want to put more tracking through this is one of the ways they want to do it, is through our shot. So that, or they're going to put some type of chip, either we'll go in and get it done or somehow. But I think typically they're going to try and do it through vaccines. And you're going to be they're already building smart cities all over America as it is. And even right here where I live, Bill Gates bought a whole bunch of farmland. And that should scare everybody, because Bill Gates has bought farmland across the United States and China. Both of these people have had more farmland than anyone else. And this is a guy supposedly who created a computer software. What does he know about farming? Well, he's not using it for farming. Either A, he's going to control the food, or B, he's going to continue to build smart cities. And he's doing it right here where in my own backyard. And so in London, I don't know if you know this, but there are cameras like everywhere in London. And the Big Brother is watching you no matter where you go, no matter what you do. So the second you step out of line, when the full thing, like if their plan really works and we don't fight back and we just let it happen, if we say anything that dissents against the government, they can take down some of our money. They could even steal it from us. We won't be able to travel. And they started doing this with COVID, with the COVID passports. It was kind of like the beta test. Can we really get this through? And unfortunately, some cities in my country were really strong on the COVID passports and forbade people from coming into their place of business. And some allowed people to come in if they didn't get vaccinated. But then we saw the pushback on the travel and how they were trying to force everyone to get the COVID vaccine if you wanted to travel. And so they started, how they wanted to implement this is if you looked at the carrot and the stick type model. So they constantly were dangling things in front of our face to entice us to succumb to something that maybe we wouldn't have wanted to do anyways, and travel being one of them. So if you don't get this thing, then you're going to be not able to travel very far from your home. And in the smart cities, the whole premise, if you listen to Klaus Schwab, he says you're going to own nothing and be happy. They don't want us to have cars. They don't want us to own property. So it's almost like you're going to be in this apartment type building. This is at least from the things I've seen come forth from the World Economic Forum. And the VR headset is, to me, the most one of the most dangerous parts of, that's why I refuse to have it in my home. Because A, it's going to be the only way you can really travel if, because they want us on a universal basic income, and it sounds really great and the numbers sound really good at first. But have you ever known anyone who thrives on government assistant programs? No. They stay in poverty as well.
Because I was, you know, even without the extremities of thinking about chips being injected via vaccines and all of this, let's just go back to the very basics of the vaccine. And it was about conforming and non-conforming. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody who had a vaccine conformed to what the government said. Everybody who didn't take a vaccine was a non-conformist to what the government said. And from what I've been hearing about this kind of new kind of stuff that they're trying to bring in, and from what I know, the EU have now signed up to this with this project, and biometric data is going to start being collected within our own borders, where you don't need to travel with any type of passport. You can just simply get scanned on your eye as you go through the airport. But they have already divided us into groups of people. Even if that vaccine was just water, they have divided us into groups of people who conformed to what the government asked and people who didn't conform. And at what level did you conform to? Because if you had maybe you had your threes and your boosters and all of that, well, you're 100% conformist. This person can now be put into this box over here and they're good people. You know, we can look after them. Or we've got some people here who kind of, they did the first one and the second, and then they kind of fell out with that. So, okay, we've got kind of, you know, 50% kind of control over those people, so we can put them here. And then we've got the people who wouldn't have anything, which we can keep completely separated, and they'll be the first people who we're not going to be helping in the future. So they kind of was able to do that even without putting chips or anything into a vaccine to find out what we would be like and how we would behave, which is an interesting point, you know. I don't know, Amber. I mean, where do we go with it all, you know, and how are we going to even start? Because there's something that I've watched all the governments do, whether it be here in England, in Europe. They're like very much so at it in Europe at the moment, which is to be divide and conquer. The old Roman way of doing things, divide and conquer. And they're doing that all the way down to the family level, where they are now separating families through gender, where they're being able to divide and conquer the family at that level by simply throwing this complete gender bull into the mix, because it's absolute rubbish, you know. And the one of the ways you can completely destroy a family is to start ripping gender apart, you know. I mean, it's probably the worst thing for a father, probably the worst thing that you could have one of your children come home and start saying that they're this, that, and the other, and they don't identify as a male or female anymore, you know. It's just crazy talk.
No, you're right. And the thing that they're doing here in the United States and some states is if you don't conform and you don't give them supposedly gender identity surgeries and therapies, they will remove your kid from your home. Like as if they see our children as their property. And if when you go back to the roots of it, looking under communism, Karl Marx did not believe in the nuclear family because then you can't have, my sociology professor said this perfectly when I was going to college. If you want to destroy society, you go after the family because the family is the nuclear of any society. And if you want communism, you have to break down the family unit. You have to take the men out of the homes. You have to make him feminine, meaning like, you know, they always talk about toxic masculinity. I don't believe in that because God made men and God made women and God made men different than women. And that's how God did it. God made men to be strong, to be fearless, to be the protectors. When I am sad and I am upset, you know who the best hug comes from? My husband, because I feel safe. Or my father when he was alive, because I felt safe, I felt cared for. A female, a female's hug would be nice, but it's so different when it comes from a man. So they had to destroy men and say, toxic masculinity, how dare you?
The thing is, Amber, as well, let's not get too, I'm not going to be male chauvinist here, right? But the basics of this is quite true. If you're broke down on the side of the road and your tire is flat, right, and you need to change the spare, right, You're probably going to struggle to do that if you're a woman, because you're going to need to hump a great big wheel around. You're going to have to get the jacking point. Yes, there's plenty of women out there can do it. I know that. And I'm not attacking them in any way, and fair play to them, you know, because it stops us men having to come out and drop everything and do it for you. Right. Mm-hmm. So fair play. But the thing is it is kind of a man's job to get out there and get dirty and jack the car up and change the wheel and undo those wheel bolts, because we're physically stronger than most women out there, because we're made different genetically. It's how it is. You know, you can't change that. You can't start saying that at birth we can't give our kids a gender. They're born with a gender. It's between their legs. It's visible as soon as they come out of the womb. If I can't give my child a gender, then how can I give my child a name?
Correct.
I can't give it a name. The only thing you're going to be able to give it is a number. And it's probably going to be a non-binary number if they have their way.
No, I agree. So what they did, what when you look at this, and I started even picking this up as a child watching television, they started programming our mind as television, because the father was always the idiot on TV. The mom was always the bossy one, the condescending one, the one that could save the day. I hated how they made the women look in the film, in the shows, and I hated how they made the fathers look in the shows, because they were idiots. And I looked at my own life. I'm like, my father's not an idiot. You know, my mom's not that overbearing woman, because nobody wants to be around that woman, and nobody wants to be around a buffoon. Like, but I saw that that's what they were doing, because the long play of it is, if we are going to have this globalist agenda, we have to attack the family. And who do we have to take out first? The father. Because why? He's going to die for that family before he lets anyone get a hold of his wife, his children. That's why they had to attack the men. And so now men around the world have felt like, I can't protect my kids. I can't stand up in my society. I'm, you know, they've kind of programmed men to kind of take a sit back. Well, I'll just watch football on the weekends and drink a beer with my friends, because they've devalued men in society. And that's terrible, because both men and women are valuable, not just women, not just men, but both.
It's definitely on the agenda to eliminate the alpha male from society, you know, because it's everywhere you go. There's, and across the West, this is, you know, it isn't anywhere else. It is only the Western world that we see this happening. Yeah. If we go to anywhere else in the world, there's none of these problems with identifying gender. There's none of these problems with what the man's role is against the woman's role. I read some interesting stuff, you know, about how confused we are as a Western world, and how our anxiety levels are now so reliant on pharmaceuticals, which is another whole big subject again, and how when we compare ourselves to, like, civilizations from the past, for example, if we look at the Tibetan people, the Tibetan people were given kind of like five choices when they left school. You could be a monk, a baker, you could be blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was very, very, very simple. Yeah. And if you was going to be a monk, then you would be doing the spiritual side of the world, and you would allow the farmers to do the farms. And that's why then the monks would get given with their bowls, the food and that from the people, because it was a kind of a thank you. It wasn't a beg. They wasn't going around begging the people. They were actually going around to collect what the people would give them to say thank you for taking care of the spiritual side of life. So it was a very, very simple world that these people lived in, but the stress levels of those people were basically zero, because everybody was happy. We didn't have all of these choices that we needed. We didn't have, you know, 1,000 choices of career when we're 16 forced onto us to which one do you want to do. Most 16-year-olds don't even know what they, you know, what music they're into properly yet by that age. They're still trying to figure that out, and we're asking them to choose from 1,000 roles of careers, you know. And we have just confused our whole society with too many choices. And we see this going on still, you know. This is where social media starts to come into everything again. It's just total confusion. And, you know, my kids, they're so into Instagram and everything else. And I am as well, because I do a lot of my marketing for the businesses through the social platforms, because they are the only real way now that we're able to get into advertising to people. But it is forcing us all into this platform that, again, when is it going to be that that's stepped in and that's taken over? Because I don't think that's too far away. The European Union now is looking at a lot of ways to police and to start taking over the internet. And I think we're not too far away from the Chinese kind of approach to this, where they will actually be running the internet and they will be in control, and the freedom of speech on the internet will be a thing of the past.
I agree. There's a gentleman that has been on the Tucker Carlson show recently, and I think his name was Mark Mead. And he talked about how the censorship of the mainstream versus the internet, and how they did know, like they saw kind of coming that the internet might take over mainstream, but they never prepared themselves for it. So they were so used to having these gatekeepers in the media decide what's going to be the story and what's not going to be the story. And then in 2016, 2020, things started changing. And now suddenly we have social media influencers that have more influence than mainstream media. And now you get to what you're talking about with the Chinese, where now they're freaking out because they never put anything in place to guard against the loss of their gatekeeper. And so now every time they freak out, they end up doing something that is so obvious to most people now that I think it's going to be harder for them to start pulling things off. Not that they won't try. But you only have power if someone gives you power. As soon as like a king, let's say a king, I'm a queen. Let's say I'm a queen right now. I only have power as long as my soldiers and my kingdom obeys my rules. At any point in time, people could say, sorry, queen, not going to listen to you. And then I lose my power. So we actually have more power in our hands than we really think we do. And because I think we're finally uniting as a global, like you and I, you know, we're across the globe, but we feel the same things. We're seeing the same things. We went from a like thought that our government cared for us to realizing, no, they're just stealing from us all the time. I think there's a shift that's happening globally from all of us regular everyday people and say, nope, sorry, not going to do it. And as long as we don't follow, they don't have power. That's the way I see it. What are your thoughts?
I agree with it. You know, it's like, I mean, we said this before that we've met before, we've talked before, we had other people in the room with us. So one was Spanish, one was English, yourself, different corners of the world. And everybody agrees on the same things. And this happens frequently. And I'm sure you find this the same as well. When you go out and you start to have these types of conversations with people, then everybody starts to agree on the main points. Yeah, everybody has their different take on it, and maybe they have their different reality on it. But the nuts and bolts of these types of conversations and approach, everybody is saying the same thing. So how long does it take for everybody to keep agreeing like this before, you know, as you say, there's even more action starts to be taken? But where does that take us, or where does that take the world? Where does it lead to? You know, I fear for my children, really, the world that we're going into, because it doesn't feel like a stable place. I mean, what's your take at the moment with, you know, we're seeing what from our point of view, we're seeing the Americans government. And I always have to stress this, especially on my shows as well. It's not the American people, it's the American government that are pushing to push Europe into wars, to kind of push people into this Ukraine. We touched on that briefly before. But they're not happy just with that now. They're trying to start wars all over the world. Do you think this is an anti-Trump kind of campaign as well, that they're trying to stop or cause as many problems as they can for him to even begin to be able to tackle?
Well, I'm not sure what the play is on that, but I have to wonder in the back of my mind, are they trying to get us into all these wars to stop an election just like we saw in Ukraine? I mean, Zelensky is out. People don't like the fact that so many of their Ukrainian people have been murdered from this war, that that really should never have happened to begin with. There's just so much corruption about the Ukraine and Russia war to begin with, and not enough time to really get into that. But in the back of my mind, I have to wonder, are you getting us into all these wars so you could stop the most important election of our time? Because they know they can't win. I mean, on paper, unless they cheat, they know they're done for.
Let's write this back a little bit more. Do you think that COVID got let out of the bag to stop Donald Trump in the first place? Because Donald Trump had come into power. He was changing the world. He was doing well. And at first, it seemed a bit disrupted. I do think he was probably inexperienced. It was his first time in a kind of political role. I've seen a big change in him and his demeanor, you know, the way he holds himself now. But back then, he was quite inexperienced. The world was in shock that he'd even got in. They wasn't expecting it. And then suddenly, he was making roads. And suddenly, this virus comes from nowhere. We've been on this planet for thousands and thousands of years. And suddenly, a bat out of a cave creates this worldwide virus that shuts the whole global planet and economic situation down. I just don't get that, right? The only thing that had really changed was Donald Trump was in power and they wanted to shut him down because
that's part of it, Adam. That's part of it. If you go to timetosaveamerica.com, and this is for all of us around the world, this is all the global citizens around the world. My friend has done extensive research and he has found patents to go back further, like in early 2000s. So there was a plan in place, but I think they used COVID because part of it was because of Donald Trump, but also they were ready because 2030, Agenda 2030, we always hear about that. That meant like to the people of the World Economic Forum in 2030 or in 2020, whatever that time frame was, they were going to take over the world. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Pinky and the Brain, the cartoon. What are we going to do tonight, Pinky? It's the same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world. Like they had a date ready to go that they were going to have this one world government. But they've been planning the COVID thing for a while. And you could see that at timetofreeamerica.com. But Donald Trump got so bad. He was so backstabbed, not only by his VP, but the guy who was in charge of the Fauci. Everyone knows who Fauci is. The guy who was in charge of the CDC, the FDA, like everybody was trying to backstab him, giving false information, telling him that 2.2 million people were going to die was false. The modeling was false. It was, and then the device that they used to determine whether you had COVID or not was never meant. The inventor of the COVID test, said this was never meant to diagnose anything before he died. He said that it's just like a magnifying glass where you could see any like little specks of anything. It was, the test was more a magnifying glass than anything, but that was the test that they used because they knew everything was going to be positive. So they used to do what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it seems as if like that was kind of like let out the box, let's say, so they could shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
He was then removed from power because obviously he so-called lost an election. And we've seen this complete farce of a president kind of fumble his way through. And I don't mean to be offensive to anybody.
No, but, it's not offensive to me.
We're seeing it from the West and we're seeing this kind of, you know, how can this guy who can't even remember his last name be president of the world? Because that's how we really see it, right? This is the president of the world, yeah? It isn't just the United States, because whatever goes on in the United States changes the world. Simple as that. We all know that. And then we see Donald Trump coming back and the election coming back, and suddenly the world is panicking again. The things that we've seen going on is crazy from our point of view here. We're then seeing our own politicians start running around like headless chickens, who we know are all corrupt anyway, and we know have been lining their pockets. And it's like, oh, so everybody's going to suddenly start getting found out if Donald Trump gets put in power again. Mm-hmm. So let's have a World War III. Let's kick it all off so that elections can't take place and everything has to be frozen whilst they deal with much more important matters because the world is at war.
That's my fear. No, I hope it doesn't happen that way. I will tell you, there are people in every single state, in every single county and city that are doing that. Citizens, just regular everyday citizens fighting against their local government. And so I have a lot of hope, because from the most corrupt California, they're having they're trying to recall Gavin Newsom again, the governor of that state, because the first time they were successful, but election corruption caused him not to vacate his governor seat. But they're doing it again. They're trying to vacate that man from office because he is one of the most corrupt politicians ever. And there's citizens all across my country that are doing stuff and getting banding together, because united we stand, divided we fall, together to do whatever we can within our power to make a difference. And if people in all the other countries do the same thing, get together with like-minded individuals to try and problem solve on how they're going to overcome maybe corrupt elections, maybe a bad school system, maybe bad medicine, this is how we make a difference. General Michael Flynn says, local action creates national impact, and I believe that wholeheartedly. So if we can get on a micro level, you and I together, lock arms, and start tackling one problem at a time, they can't hold power. And that's where we really win. United we stand, divided we fall. Don't let them talk about racial stuff. That's just a tactic. It's just a distraction, as you talked about before. You know, I don't think most people are racist. I think most people don't see color, but, you know, some do. But I don't think overall people do. But that's a tactic. So get together, be united.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I see attitude, and that's what I see. You know, I don't see color. My wife is her mom is half Jamaican. My children are kind of, we call ourselves the rainbow family because we're all different colors in our family. But we don't see that. What we see is attitude, and we see a different type of attitude from certain types of people. And I think that's that's what needs to be tackled, and that's down to education. Mm-hmm. But what we do see, again, is, you know, with all of this madness that we're seeing going on in the States, we're seeing it ricochet across our worlds. We're seeing our businesses, you know, and our whole economies are all kind of eyes on the States now. Everybody is watching America and what's going to go on. But the more we watch it, the more we see, and the more craziness that we see, and the attempted almost coups from the Democrats and stuff to try to take down Donald Trump before he comes in, and nothing works. You know, everything, he's like the Teflon Don, isn't it? You know, nothing sticks with him, but mostly because, you know, they are just lying through their back teeth. And it, as you asked at the beginning, what do we see and how do we see it? That is pretty much how we're seeing it at the moment in the Western world, in Europe and whatnot. We're just watching this whole circus go on.
Well, if I can encourage people watching and listening to our program right now, it's a crazy time we're living in, and I don't know what the future has in store, but all I know is they only have power if we give them power, and they want us to be divided, so let's not give them that. Let's unite. And if you can band together with your brothers and sisters that live in your city and town and start tackling these problems, then you know what? They will keep losing power. So it really comes down to you and I doing something. If we keep sitting on our couch and watching football every weekend, the same thing's going to happen over and over again, and the results won't change. So let's break the cycle of insanity, and let's start making a difference where we live. So Adam, how do people find you again if they want to like follow you or listen to your program? How do they find you?
Okay, well, you can find us on ridetimeradio.com. I do a breakfast show every morning at 8 a.m., which is GMT London time. So if you'd like to tune into us on that, you can always catch me. I generally have a kind of, I call it the head lies session. So we don't do the headlines, we do the head lies, because there's more of them that you can actually look up. So we do the head lies in the morning, and we kind of go through the day and get people set up. If you like rock music, if you like hard rock, a lot of American rock, because it's probably my favorite genre. If you want to tune into us, you can do. We're also on some of the catch-up shows, which we paste up onto podbean.com. And we are pretty much our Instagram, Easy Rider Tenerife. Just look us up there. A lot of Americans coming over at the moment, Amber. A lot of Americans starting to look at Spain as a second home. There's a lot of visa options that are being opened up for Americans now to come over to Spain. So if you're coming over to Spain or the Canaries, look us up on Easy Rider Tenerife.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Adam, for spending time with us today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you very much for having me, Amber, and I'll speak to you again very soon.
You need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I can't wait to see you next time.